Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous-led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. This is episode 111. Have you been seeing numbers lately?
Yes, I have. I have. What a beautiful day.
Right?
Did you see that video I posted yesterday? I believe in love. My dog's eating in the background. Please ignore it. I posted video of eagles like mating in the sky above my house, and it was just beautiful. I chose a different trail to walk on. I usually walk and check on the eagles at this river trail that I'm really fond of, and I like to sit there under them because there's usually, you know, at one point there was 23 sitting there, and now there's about 15 or 16 or so. Like, there's not as much as there was before. So I took a different hill yesterday, and then it was the afternoon, and I kind of saw like this shadow darken my kitchen, like Ooh. A big shadow. And I thought, finally, because I'm trying to be friends with a magpie. I really want a magpie friend. And so I'm putting, like, I don't know how they pronounce it, sweat, S-U-E-T. It's like a fat and seed mixture. And it's really good. I think it'll make the magpies fat and shiny. And so I put some out and I'm trying to be friends. Anyway, I thought they were here. And so I got a better look out my back porch, and it was a huge eagle. And I'm like, oh my God, they're here. They're the ones that I go see from upstream or downstream from me. When I went outside, I came back in and I was doing dishes at the kitchen window. And I came back in and I grabbed my camera and I went outside and I looked. And there were like 14 eagles in the sky, about 6 older bald eagles, and then about an equal amount, 6 or 8 immature bald eagles, which they're all brown. They look like golden eagles, but they're small. And it was really cool to watch them. Melissa, I don't know how I was so privileged to witness this, but it was like the adult bald eagles, I assumed were parents. And of the immature balds that were in the sky with them. And so then my imagination fires off and I was like, oh my God, there's a wedding in the sky happening right now. And these older bald eagle families are showing the newlyweds how to dance, like synchronized dancing and falling in the sky. And the old ones would do it and the young ones would do it like just slightly more clumsy, but they would keep trying. And it was just so beautiful. And I can't believe I witnessed it. Anyway, it made me believe in love and like falling in love and that concept. And I found the perfect audio
of wow.
mixing with it and how trusting you have to be, because birds, they mate for life, right?
Yes. It's beautiful. Eagles specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to be able to navigate the wind gusts up in the air, and then they clasp claws and they interlock them like how we would interlock our fingers, and they start this like free fall spiral, and they angle their wings. And I saw what I assumed was the boy, like I assumed the boy is the pusher of this relationship. So you see the female eagle flying, and you see the male kind of like scoot up to her, and he's like kind of, he's more active and he looks like he's showing off a little bit more, which I assume is like a manly behavior in this mating dance they're doing. And then he like swoops above her and she accepts his claw and she flips upside down. And they're still going the same speed, and they clasp hands or claws, and then they start to spiral and drop and just plummet. And they got a little bit lower than some of the highest trees around this field I'm near. And then they released, and it looked exhilarating. It looks like they create the butterflies you feel when you fall in love. Like, it was just,
wow.
I
posted
love
a similar video. I've never seen it in person though. I really love how the courtship dance way up in the sky is just so symbolic and beautiful, right? Like, there's trust there. There's so many things there that you're free falling with this other being in the sky and using the elements to kind of grab momentum. It's just such a beautiful thing. Yeah, I had an eagle moment a couple months ago when I posted my eagle courting video, and I thought, this is what true love is. This is when you have the other person's back no matter what, is kind of like the standard I was shooting for in the message that I posted with that eagle courting video. It's like, I want something that is so like supreme and natural at the same time, like the eagle dance, or like the just the relationship and the hardcore companionship that they have. I mean, they don't switch mates until one dies, right? Like, that's how it works. And they both build the nest. They both do so many things together. It's just such a beautiful thing to see. And I can't imagine seeing it in person above your house and how symbolic that is. Like, that's just so crazy to me. Beautiful.
It was such a gift. It's yeah. Just like, it has me beaming, like my smile is ear
to
ear. And
it.
I really believe in love. It doesn't even matter species. So
right. It really doesn't. It's such a beautiful thing. I would love, I've only just seen eagles sitting together, like just as a couple, just kind of nestled together. I've never seen them do the courtship dance though. That is so amazing. Wow. Yeah. Right by your house. Insane.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is Montana right outside my door. So
beautiful.
I'm pretty lucky. But this episode that's a really good segue into what we wanted to talk about, which was love and gratitude for the Black women who have done the labor, who we benefit from.
That's right. Because we do cultural humility trainings. Obviously, we talk about this all the time. It's all over our social feeds, website, the show description for this episode. There's also going to be a link to our cultural humility class. But it is Black History Month as of February 1st. Lots going on to celebrate. Melanie Turvalon is hosting a training, which is just unbelievable to me, because I really thought the time had passed for someone like me to be able to get into a training by the source of cultural humility, one of the co-founders. If you don't know, cultural humility was co-founded by Dr. Melanie Turvalon and Dr. Jamaree Garcia. And every once in a while, they actually host trainings to train more trainers. And Melanie's doing one in Oakland this March. And your girl is going, and I'm beyond excited because it is the labor of Black women who are guiding me through my own journey through anti-racism and just my collective ick of the world. They're really leading me out into the light and like helping me find my own strengths. And it's just so inspiring. Like, I can't believe I'm going to go actually be trained by Melanie Turvalon. Now, you've been through it, so you got me super excited talking about how your experience was back when it first started for you. So I'm finally in 2024 getting the opportunity myself. So I'm pretty stoked. Thank you.
It's such an amazing opportunity. I love it. It's just, oh, the gratefulness of the emotional labor and the secondary trauma that these two ladies navigated through and then put this excellent slide deck and curriculum together to train trainers in cultural humility. And just what they were tasked with is really monumental. The history of cultural humility is when the Rodney King beating happened in the street and they were filmed for the first time. And those race riots in the streets were spilling over into the waiting rooms of the hospital that they were working in. And so the hospital head of staff tasked Melanie Turvalon and Dr. Jamaree Garcia with bringing the hospital together. I don't even think they had a name of what was happening at the time. They pulled an all-staff meeting together and they found out, I think they found out from my, now here we go into my assumptions of what might have happened there is that they just pulled together all of the staff and they found out that there were communication avenues that were non-existent and assumptions running wild between people. And it's, I use the example in our trainings a lot because it's in the facilitator guide or their article, their journal article on cultural humility, that the janitor and the head doctor, who they had had a 20 plus year relationship, and not once did the doctor say thank you or ask the gentleman's name who was changing his trash and cleaning his office every day. And these two would have daily encounters. And I can't fathom that kind of world where a human is being that close to you and you just choose through ranking or busyness or order or whatever, I don't know what the reason is, you just choose to ignore them completely.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. And does that go into colonialism and the servant
totally
lord structure, where there was always these servants who should, and it trickled into parenthood, where they, like, a good woman and a good child should only be seen and not heard mentality. You know that saying?
Yeah. It's definitely a colonial classism thing because of the hierarchy of it. Like, right, you don't get to address me, I get to address you. That's how it is. That's the way it's been. I also cannot imagine having janitorial staff and just not talking to them as they go about you daily.
Yes. And I've said it before, but, you know, growing up on the reservation and being a child of people who are traditional, I see the jobs that these other, you know, the parents and the grandparents work. And all of the janitors that I knew were medicine men. They were holy men. And then it was an assumption that was reinforced into my professional career when I went to work in Arizona. And one of the janitors turned out to be a very strong and powerful Hopi guy who did snake dances. And it was just, yeah, he had incredible conversation and reinforced my assumption that, you know, people make a lot of assumptions about why people would take a service job like janitorial, custodial work. And, you know, sometimes it's because they come from reservations where they've sacrificed all of their youth years when people were going to school and college to staying home and learning language and ceremonies and all of these other customs that are equivalent to PhDs. But they just, you know, that's what they spent their youth on. It's really interesting to, yeah, you just watch out. I think they should put it in the next reservation dogs that the janitor is always probably the strongest medicine man in. And they got pretty close where their medicine man was a guy who sat outside the grocery store at his table, right?
Right. I always acknowledge people changing the trash. I'll say thank you. And they always look so surprised, like, oh, someone's talking mm-hmm. to me.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who's in a service position as well as a server, I definitely get looks sometimes like I should just be quiet and not say anything when there's really upper middle class people that I'm serving or people who are executives in this city. I mean, the hierarchy we can go on and on about the hierarchy and just everything, but I'm very much aware of the people who are working and doing like the low paying jobs because I come from that background. Is my parents, my dad collects cans to this day. So every time I see the people collecting the cans, I try and do what I can. I'll even separate my cans into a separate bag just to make it easier when they're digging through the trash. Cause I know how hard it must be to try and go through everybody's mm-hmm. trash looking for cans, right? Like there's just so many different, there's just so many people around who are trying to survive. And a lot of these, the ways that they're doing it could be perceived as like really low.
Low class. Yeah.
Really low class levels.
Low class.
People.
Low class. Like, see, even I'm lacking the vocabulary for like getting around it. Like I'd have to sit here really long and think really hard about a different word to use because mm-hmm. we're scripted here in America. to think low class, mid class, high class. And then we do have these colonial undertones and vibes of like the treatment, which is really similar to there, you know, it's the Indian caste system based on like colorism and tribalism, I think. Wow. It's just amazing. Yeah. But like, I guess what we were getting to is like, you gotta let love or rule. Something around whatever your word is for being kind to each other. Gotta let that rule. Yeah.
Totally. Moving around the world. Like you really mean it. I just retweeted someone on Twitter who just had the most amazing tweet. It was along the lines of, shout out to everybody who is working in this compassion, love work, kind of like we're doing, like without saying the words DEI or anti-racism, who are actually doing it not to strategize for a capitalistic outcome, but who are really doing it because that's who they are. And that's how I feel too. It's like, I'm really doing this because that's who I am. I truly want to exude love and I want to live in that as much as possible because it is the happiest way for me to be after everything. Not forcing, just truly being it and embodying the compassionate and the loving side of my lineage. It's there. I can feel it. It's always been there. I try to lead from that, even when I have my super tough days.
I know. I was just deep diving. I'm still deep diving. It's been a week now, maybe a couple weeks. And I've been really looking into what these vestibular migraines are. And then, and a lot of it seems to be, I found this really great doctor, YouTube doctor. Oh, it really goes into what we talk about. A lot of people who have long COVID are experiencing these chronic dizziness, bouts of nausea, dizziness, vertigo, or vestibular migraines, and they don't know what it is. Like, I went to physical therapy and he's like, oh, you have a vestibular migraine. And I'm like, well, how do you fix it? And he's it's not the Heimlich maneuver, it's the Eckleyer or something maneuver. And you kind of like hang your head off of a bed or table end and angle it just right. And you're putting these crystalline figures of your inner ear back onto a plate that they're supposed to be on that helps control your balance. But then this other doctor is saying that long COVID is stopping people's ability to shut off their traumatic responses and reactions when something mundane happens. So we have long COVID and we're exhausted and then we get a little dizziness or something like that. What she's saying is like it's our central nervous system just not knowing when to shut off. And I'm like, wow, that's what's happening with Native communities and populations, is like for decades, going like over 100 years, hundreds of years for East Coast Natives, right? They've been in such a state of trauma or flat out extermination and massacre, the American genocide, and the descendants of those people, us, experience like silly little stuff. And then our fight or flight like kicks into overdrive and then we can't shut it off. And then long COVID has like also turned a switch on or off or something like that, where our inability to shut it off happens. And so like you have to do this deep work of, she walks people through this deep work of going into the animal part of your brain, the part of your brain that doesn't speak a language, that just only reacts to stimulation. And so you have to do like these biochemical hacks, and then also like just navigating around those symptoms. When you start to feel one come on, you have to let your body run through the process of fight or flight, running, and then relaxing. And like I said, chewing your cud that last episode, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're deep diving into it, because I had to do a deep dive into my back, which is now okay. That's why I'm in a great mood, because I'm quote unquote back. As nice. I'm back to my jolly self, because that was a 3-week span of just upset tissues from deep issues. And it just kind of cleared. everything just kind of cleared one day. I woke up and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not coughing anymore. My back feels like it's regulated. My tattoo's almost totally healed already. It's crazy. And I just felt like I'm back to being myself, but I am worried about COVID again. It's going around pretty bad. I think I've had it 3 times, but after the second time, I do not feel the same. I'll have to admit that. And that was May of last year or the year before, where I got it for a second time. And that's when I started to eat meat and dairy again. I just didn't feel right. You know, I thought, is this like plant-based lifestyle contributing to COVID attacking me far worse? And I began eating meat, and now I'm just kind of in a lull, it feels like. But I'm doing my best to try and pull myself out of it. But I'm really excited just about the plans coming up that we have and everything that we have going on. So I really hope that you find out why those migraines continue. Because I remember when I first met you, before you got that piercing, you had them pretty bad. Like, it would take you out for like,
horrible. Yeah.
Like days.
It's transitioned. I guess I hit a stage in my life where the way that my body deals with tension and pain is changed. So it went from those chronic tension migraines that were on the back of my head and neck and into my shoulders. And then I got the piercing, and those really went away to 1 or 2 a year compared to like 75% of the whole month. I was just kind of smiling through it.
Ugh.
And after it disappeared, I got nothing for a little while. I think like I started to feel like a little soreness in my lower back. And I'm familiar with people, like it's really common to have stress and then feel it in your shoulders or feel it in your lower back. That's really easy to get people to understand. Like dealing with the migraines is a little different, because I always feel like people think you're making things up because you can't see, there's no evidence, right? Unless you see, like after a couple of weeks, you get kind of like bloodshot eyes from just dealing with that level of pain.
Yeah.
Insane. I'm loving this journey though. I'm still grateful for being able to navigate this journey of life and figuring out my human body. Like, isn't that it, right? Like, we're stuck in these bodies and we get this journey. You just have to experience it. Like, if you believe in some ways, like we picked our journeys, right, to learn something. And so we shouldn't be complaining too much.
I've learned to really accept how I am. And you know
how you are. How are
how,
you?
How I am. Well, I don't want to say I fully like accept every single thing, because there's still things I struggle with, obviously. Like, I still have insecurities. I've really gotten my imposter syndrome under control, but I still love a whole lot of me. Like, there's still so many things I find that are making me really cool, and like people want to hang out with me and people have a great time around me. So I'm getting good feedback, right? And in hindsight, I always look back on my life. I'm like, wow, my life is way cooler than I think it was. That's a thing. It's just a strange thing to say, but it is February. It is the month of love. It is Black History Month. There's just a lot to be grateful for. So we were talking earlier about the Black women who have given us an avenue pretty much to like continue our work and like fuse our Indigenous cultures and value into the journey. And it's just such a wonderful place to be right now in my life. I'm going to be 43 this year and I could not be happier. So much love to everybody who's listening and struggling and still figuring it out. We all are. I am definitely a huge work in progress and I'm okay with that. Hey friend, you made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on episode 111. We do have social feeds if you're interested in seeing some of our other content, like our cultural humility postings. We do have an MMIW retreat coming up in Pasco, Washington. Give us a follow on Instagram at Indigenous Vision Media. We're also on Facebook at Indigenous Vision. And of course, visit our website, indigenousvision.org, to find out who we are, see our projects live in action, make a donation to keep this podcast and some of our other projects going. And of course, that's where you can register for our cultural humility training. Also, hit up the links I've shared in the show notes for this episode. We appreciate your time and love. Thank you so much for listening.